We're going to have a blast, and I can't wait for us to talk about everything we need to talk about today. So here's our lovely Helen Sulston. How are you, Helen?
I am very well, Melody. Thank you.
I'm so glad. So Helen, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. Well, really, really, and it's going to be featured around Helen Keller, which everybody, she has two beautiful posters from what I understand of Helen Keller behind her. But we want to talk about how Helen here brought all of this to be what we believe to be the first ever fully accessible digital archive. So Helen, can you tell us a little bit about you, how long you've been at AFB, and walk us through this?
Sure, absolutely. I'd love to. I have been an archivist since 1988, and I've been at AFB since 2002. So this is easily the longest archival gig I've ever had. I want to dive straight into what is contained in the archival collection itself, because many people might not even know what it is.
Right, exactly.
There are over 80,000 items in the physical archive. And right now, the digital archive contains over 186,000 digital images. It's the single largest repository of materials by and about Helen. For those who don't know, Helen was born in 1880 and she died in 1968. Every aspect of her long, rich life is documented in the collection. She worked in the disability field, but as some of you might know, and you certainly will after you looked at the archive, she was also active in women's rights, and she fought for the rights of workers and essentially the marginalized. Everybody who was anybody in the late 19th century to the middle of the 20th century is in the collection. We've got at least seven US presidents. We've got writers such as John Steinbeck. We've got actors such as Laurence Olivier. We've got famous capitalists from Andrew Carnegie and the Rockefellers to famous anarchists like Emma Goldman. She knew everybody. And actually, what's also wonderful, the archive is packed with letters from regular citizens from around the globe who loved her and corresponded with her. So it's a massive archive. And it's not just reflective of Helen's life. It sheds light on disability history as a whole of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. So it's extremely important. It's a bunch of formats. We've got correspondence, speeches, press clippings, scrapbooks, photographs, photographic albums, architectural drawings, audio recordings, and artifacts. For this particular audience, I'm going to sort of talk and just describe the materials about legislation that are in the archive. Helen crisscrossed the US from the 1920s to the 1940s, demanding that provisions be made for people who are blind. At this time, but when she started, state commissions for the blind weren't even around. So she was instrumental in going to state legislatures and demanding state commissions for the blind be created. We forget actually how far we've come, how much we've got to do, but actually how far we've come. And of course, I can't help but resist mentioning one piece of legislation that brought in funding for the creation of talking books and talking book machines. AFB pioneered the talking book in the 1930s. And of course, there's correspondence with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Helen had a direct access to power. If she wanted something, she literally just wrote to these leaders and demanded these things, and she often got them. She was sort of actually unstoppable, and she leveraged her power. Can I talk about what the digitization process is, Melody, and what it involves?
Of course, yes, okay. Please.
So digitization means photographing material, capturing it, and disseminating it. And when I say disseminating, I mean taking all that information in the image, the date, who's in it, the subject, everything in it, which is commonly called metadata, and making it accessible via our website.
Now, so Helen, really quick, when you say accessible,
yeah,
there's one thing I want to point out to people that she just taught me, which I love. Helen here had 18 people test this, all the way from, what'd you say, grandfathers to 10-year-old kids, just to make sure the usability.
Totally. Normally, apparently, I've discovered there are 4 to 5 usability testers when you create a website. We had 18, And courtesy of Liz Neal, who interviewed and did one-on-one interviews with each of those usability testers, and they used their own computer devices so she could ask questions, gauging how well or how hard it was for them to use the site. And what was fascinating to us, we discovered that many people didn't even know what an archive is. So talk about which one, Liz is asking all these questions and we have all these like, can you use the browse function? Can you use the search function? And it's like, but what is an archive? So this was, we learned so much from the usability testing. And that's just one aspect of things. Should I keep going?
Keep going. I just wanted to throw that out.
No, it's very important. Can I tell you what I discovered in doing this project?
The important, yes, please.
Well, multiple things, but very importantly, the importance of a really good team. It sounds so obvious, but people involved in this project, AFB staff who are experts in accessibility, we used software designers in New Zealand, Stefan in Viridian. They were experts in creating archival collections and putting newspaper collections on online. And then, of course, there's Hudson Archival, our digitization vendor in upstate New York, run by the formidable Toya Dubin. At one point, I counted 60 people actively working on this project, many of whom were volunteers. And talking about volunteers, I want to... When you see an item, when you see an image, okay, on the screen, if you can't see, you can't read it, which is like stands to reason, right?
Right.
All these, and what if there's a photograph on the screen, right? It has to be described. So in March 2018, we, amongst other things, we went on idealist.org. We requested volunteers to help us transcribe handwritten materials. Let me backtrack a bit. We use something called optical character recognition, which can read computer words and spit them out as text. But there's tons of stuff that's handwritten. So we needed people. We needed people to help us to transcribe these materials. So in March 2018, we now have over 40 volunteers. Each one was individually taught. We created a standards document so that everyone wasn't going off willy-nilly and doing their own thing. So the transcription in the boxes on the screen are consistent, the people transcribe consistently. So that was
that's amazing. Deal.
And that's a massive, massive effort. There are tens of thousands of pieces of transcription now.
And we're so grateful for people's time in doing that to be able to deliver this amazing product.
And I have to say, because Liz Neal is on the telephone, is on the line.
And she's one of our AFB staff, everyone.
She is the queen of accessibility in my eyes. And she has told us again and again, you have to make all your websites accessible. And for us, let me sort of backtrack again. Most collections, if you can't see, you can't access them. You just can't use them. What we've done is pioneering. I don't think there's anything, well, we know there's nothing else like it on the planet, period, where those who are blind, deaf, deafblind and hearing impaired and can use the archive, because what we did, we coded it on the back end. We used, you have to properly label HTML. Everything has to have good bones, as Liz Neal would say. You have the multiple, also when you can see, we have little buttons on the screen that you use your mouse to click on to say zoom in, zoom out. All those things are keyboard accessible. So all that went into making the collection accessible, and that took months and months and months. And we really want others to use this digital archive and to follow our example. We don't want this to be, it is a beacon on the hill, but we want it to make others make their beacons on the hill, right? There's no point us doing this if others don't do it as well. So Anyway, I hope, Liz, I explained accessibility well enough. And if I didn't, you got to chime in at the end.
Well, I think you did a wonderful job. And as a blind user, I mean, I have really gotten lost in this archive because it's just so beautiful. And to have that accessibility and to understand like what you've done is really, you know, it's given me a lot of peace in, you know, the times we're facing now. I mean, you talked about the pioneering that went on with this, like, AFB is totally built off of, you know, Helen's, mm-hmm. her strategic plan is built off of her. Mm-hmm. And I think we've led by example, well, you guys have, but by creating this beautiful archive. And, you know, I want to talk about education for just a little bit, Helen. Totally. Can you tell us about the education piece that can be used for teachers and the curriculum and that sort of thing that we kind of also built in?
Absolutely. Early in 2019, before the pandemic, we began creating lesson plans for students. The lessons use the digital archive to teach about Helen, but also to learn how to navigate primary and secondary sources. We went into a local public school in Brooklyn. We met with the teachers and we asked them what they want. And they told us, interestingly, that many kids actually don't know how to do basic search. They don't know how to use an archive. So our three lessons, the first one is introduction to digital and physical archives. The second one is primary and secondary sources. And the third one is called Votes for Women, A Voice for All, Helen Keller, Suffragist, because last year was the ratification, that was the centennial of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. And Helen was a huge suffragist, so we have awesome material that I recommend everybody go and look at on what she said in the teens about demanding the right to vote for women. So these lesson plans are very, very important. And think about it. It's a strange coincidence that these were created just as the pandemic was getting going and remote distance learning materials are needed. So this is wonderful to teach kids via the internet if they can't physically go into schools. But more importantly, kids with disabilities can access their own history and shape that history and roll with it. You know, what is the point of all collections of making a Helen Keller digital archive, especially if the next generation can't benefit from it?
I completely agree.
Is that making sense?
Yes.
I'm super proud of the lesson plans because I was very, very happy. I was obviously delighted that we created the digital archive. But for me, I've always wanted to focus on kids and the next generation and how do you, I want my historians to use it. I want my scholars to use it. I want my filmmakers to use it. But I really, really want this to be used in classrooms around the country, if not the world. And now is as good a time. It's certainly a fantastic time to do that.
Yes. And one thing I want to put on is to talk a little bit about Helen. You know, I love how you said that because this is like we are the future and into education. She's so relevant now. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about how relevant she is and timeless to what we're facing now? I don't think people really, we all see her kind of as a miracle worker, but we know her as, we both have called her the Trojan horse. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Right. I'm going to give an example of the Trojan horse, Helen Keller. Helen Keller traveled to 39 countries around the globe. In many of those countries, she would show up. At this point, this is in the 40s and 50s. She was in her 60s and 70s. People did not think this beautiful older lady had the power that she walloped, and she really did. She would meet, her schedules were packed. She would go to museums. She would meet with government officials. She would say, "You have a beautiful country. Your culture is amazing. I'm loving what you're doing, but you are not helping people who are blind in your communities." And in fact, I have letters back from these places, such as Lebanon, 1952, wonderful letter explaining that because of Helen's appearance in Lebanon, I think it's Beirut, a school for blind kids was started because she showed up there and demanded it and pushed for it. They didn't expect this sweet old lady to come in and start telling them that they should do better, but she really did. And this is her work as a disability activist, that she worked for AFB from 1924 till she died in 68. Before that, in the teens, she was demanding women's suffrage, a fair wage for workers. There's correspondence with the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP, and the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU in the collection. She understood that civil rights are basic rights, period. And she fought for those things from the get-go. And I think what I find hardest of all is to change perceptions. You know, you can give people technology, you can give people this physical and this, but to change the thinking, to make people less prejudiced is something that is so hard. And I do believe that this digital archive can do that. We can see what she did. We can see what she did in tandem with others. This isn't just an AFB affair. When you look at AFB's, the digital archive, we worked with APH, we worked with RNIB, we worked with CNIB, we worked around the globe with our blindness partners and sisters around the globe, brothers and sisters. And I think it's important to look back to know how to move things forward. I really do.
Yes, you know, one of my favorite quotes is that, you know, when she talks about history has taught you nothing if you think you can kill ideas. Mm-hmm. And there's more of that quote, but she's so true. I mean, it is. And she looked at the world, another one that, you know, a friend of mine reminded me of is that she looked at the world as the world was her child. And you know, you and I always talk about like what went on with her. And I love how she strategically had these partnerships. Absolutely. She had people buy it because in today's world, in 2021, there are things that we're all advocating for and that we're moving forward and we've done, but we have so much more to go.
And she's been there and done it. AFB, I've been recently reading the annual reports, AFB's annual reports, and it's fascinating to me how broad AFB's reach was, but how strategic we were in using Helen. She was less sort of the surveys, less the doing actual research that AFB did. She was in front of politicians. She was in front of people who could change the agenda. She was, I mean, absolutely. She asked for money from FDR. She got that money. She was instrumental in getting people with vision loss to be able to work in stands. It's actually in the post office. They were given a special ruling that they could sell newspapers, which sounds a bit strange, but actually to have that, they were the only group, by the way. People who were that only group that I know of with a disability that were allowed to run federal stands in federal buildings, in post offices. And she did that. And what we forget as well, it's hard work. It's often not glamorous. It's day in, day out, chipping away at things. You know, we got to see the complete arc, not just a little piece of it. And Helen, you can really see the details in the digital archive. And I want everybody to go and look at it. So it's afb.org/Helen Keller Archive. So please do go and look at it.
Yes, you guys, I would say please do, because I know for myself, you know, we are embarking on many things here at AFB. Happy centennial. I mean, we're celebrating our 100th year. And I just, it would be just, you know, go in there, write us, tell us, you know, when you go in and do afb.org/Helen Keller Archive, you know, there is this form. Tell us what you think of it, like what you think, your experience, what you've learned, because you're going to see. And I love, before we get into question, question and answer, because we're by so fast, Helen, you're just always amazing talking. We all need a little Helen Sulston in our lives every day. But I love it because you're so passionate about what you do, what you believe. And I just wanted to ask one question. When you move in and we think about what you were saying, chipping away at it, it's hard work. It's tedious. It's exhausting. You know, I think a lot of us, I myself was used to look at Helen Keller as, oh, so obtainable. But as I read through the archive, I find, you know, we all have a bit of Helen Keller in us, no matter our situation.
Mm-hmm. It's true. We can take a portion. And also Helen wrote quite rightly, I'm not taking, I don't think you can take gigantic steps. She wrote that. We all take small steps to get to where we want to get to. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy.
No, I agree. And I think she celebrated each win. And I think we all need to do that. Yeah. But I know there is going to be a ton of questions here, Helen. Thank you so much for this. I can't believe it's already 4:20. And this was so awesome. Thank you so much. I'm sending you a virtual hug, my friend. John, how's it going out there in the chat?
Yes, well, so far we have a comment. I'm going to read this comment to the audience and to you and Helen. This is from a gentleman called Clark Reynolds. Hi, everyone. My name is Clark, and I'm from the UK, and I'm a Braille artist. I would love to transcribe Helen's letters into my unique color-coded Braille so people can learn Braille and learn about Helen in an artist's way.
Awesome.
Thanks, Clark. We're so happy you came.
You're hired.
There you go.
So we'll swap emails. Is that good? We can do that?
Yes, I will introduce you to
That's
Clark.
Wonderful.
Okay, so Melody, you will connect Helen and Clark following this episode. Thank you for the comment, Clark. Here is it's an impossible question. Helen, do you have a favorite item in the archive?
No, that is an impossible question. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Do you know what? One did come to mind. W.E.B. Du Bois's book. I might be saying it incorrectly. Du Bois. Dark Water. In the first page, he's an African-American civil rights leader. In the first page, he's inscribed it. And I'm going to paraphrase. He wrote, inscribed, I think it's 1921, 1923. I have known you unknown for many years. In other words, he has been an admirer of Helen Keller's for many, many years. That book, that just makes my heart sing. So it's just a great thing. So that's one of my favorites. But there are so many others.
Thank you for that. And again, www.afb.org/Helen Keller Archive. Okay, here's another one. Diane Fossey. Hi, Helen. Thank you for your work and passion to share with the work of Helen Keller. What advice do you think she would give AFB and the profession if she were here today?
That's a good one.
Wow. Can I speak as off the cuff here?
Yes.
Okay. She would say, she had such incredible access to power. We need to have more direct access to people who can really, so that we can affect greater change. And I would love, maybe today we are still an incredible organization. We were absolutely blindness period in America for decades. There are many, many blindness organizations today. How about we all maybe meet and come together and forge a path ahead? Kirk is going to be like, oh no. I love Kirk's thoughts on this because I'm sure you'll actually have a far better answer than I do. But anyway, that's my humble answer, is how do we reach the powers that be in a time when there are so many blindness organizations?
Well, thank you
for that response.
I'm going to jump into a question submitted in advance. what was this project like, assembling this massive digital archive? Did it change you as a person? Did it change the way you view technology and assistive technology?
Yeah. I think it made me realize the barriers in technology that remain, actually. It did. It I can't say it really changed me as a person, rather than made me more aware of the blind community, of what it is to be blind, and really how, if you can't see and your website isn't accessible, if your cell phone's not accessible, you're locked down. And it's just so, it's not, it's one thing, of course it's not right, and it's also not necessary. We can make things better, and I think people are making things better. So I absolutely realize the huge, huge importance of making all websites accessible for people who are blind and visually impaired.
Thanks, Helen.
Thank you for that. Here's one, a little bit more current events focused. There were headlines recently around an absurd idea that it was impossible for Helen Keller, as a deafblind woman, to have written 14 books and achieved all that she did. How can we help parents and educators respond to false information like this?
I think disseminate that information even more. Make sure we get these lesson plans and the digital archive into curricula, into general curricula. By the way, I'm very pleased because, oh, I should backtrack. None of this was possible without the National Endowment for the Humanities. I should say that right off the bat. This has been a very expensive project. They've given us over $640,000 in funding. We are supremely grateful. In total, we've raised about $1 million for this project. We keep having to move it forward. Vis-a-vis getting the word out there, there is the education arm of the NEH that makes curricula called it's called Edcitement. And we are going to try and get these lesson plans, we're going to get these lesson plans on their website so that kids around the nation and indeed around the globe can access this. I'm not skirting the issue, education is key. It is the most powerful weapon in our arsenal, and as is the digital archive. So it really is to keep getting the word out there. There's only so much you can do to disabuse people of false notions, but we have to keep fighting against that. We just have to keep doing it.
I agree. And, you know, I think we can, John, I think we have time for one more.
Squeeze in one more. It's about 4:30 on the nose. The Helen Keller Archive, Helen, an ongoing project. What's next? What else is there to do?
Well, I have a plan, and I know we all have a plan. I really want to create a disability history consortium. I don't want us to be the only people creating an accessible archive. I want other blindness organizations with archival collections. Perkins, Hadley, Harvard has collections about those with disabilities. I want others to join in so that we can create a far larger group of collections that can be used by people with disabilities and those without. Remember, when you make your archive accessible, you're also making it easier to use for people who can see and can hear. So everybody benefits. So I want money to make a disability history consortium. And in fact, what was wonderful, Melody, recently you had a lady called Mary Dolan from the
FCC.
So I had a wonderful chat with her. And so we are going to put our heads together to see how we can partner with other organizations to make proposals for grants to move ahead and create a disability history consortium. Because I think it's the way to go. It really is.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that's a fine example of how we are still, AFB is very much with our brothers and sisters and partners.
Yep.
Looking at different ways to build. And I actually, Helen, I want to give this audience some homework. And I think that's an easy assignment. And I want to see what you think about it. And I'm going to do it myself. We all have the power to share. And we all have the power to educate, especially with the controversy that kind of came up about how Helen could do this. And here we have this beautiful, fully accessible archive at AFB. And my challenge to everyone is to share it with 10 people that you know and go through and come back with us to your responses. And let's all build it together. Because as we say, you know, our logo for our 100th anniversary, which is this year, is inclusion knows no limits. And I can't think of a better person to have today to kick us off in this new year than you, Helen, to talk about what is truly possible when you have inclusion and helping us build education, because education is power. It really is. And Helen knew that too, Helen Keller.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Melody.
Thank you guys so much. And listen, everybody, please do visit again. It's afb.org/Helen Keller Archive and check out all the fun we're going to have coming up this year with our centennial. And remember, we're better together and creating a life of no limits together as a team. So everybody have a great rest of your day. I cannot wait to see you in 2 weeks, and have a great one. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your week.